Thank you, Madam Chair, and I thank you and Ranking Member Manchin for holding this important hearing and continuing the focus on these issues and for the witnesses being here today. I think you can hear from each of us, particularly from Western states, how urgent we think these issues are. And I think the questions, we're all ready to help. And I think that we are ready to even come up with more tools and more resources. But a lot of our questions this morning are around, what are you doing to implement the tools that we just gave you? And the reason why we're doing that is because we've already had the Grant County fire. I think this map from our state is alarming. It's alarming because so much of it is in Western Washington. You know, we're used to the challenges in Central and Eastern Washington, but when you're talking about the usually wet side of our state, to see fire season predictions for the latest mapping to include so much of Western Washington, it's concerning. So we want every resource that we can. We want this to be the same as, you know, any disaster that you'd be preparing for, whether it's a hurricane in the south or a storm off of our east coast. We view the fire season as a major storm impacting us. So one of the first questions I have, Director LaGarza, is we are seeing, you know, other people implementing these GPS systems as it relates to resources, fire engines, and moving forward. I know that BLM has now agreed to doing this immediately. What can we do to get the Forest Service to immediately implement that GPS system so we know the location of resources and assets and hopefully onto our firefighters as well so we can protect them this season?
And thank you, Senator. So what we're doing in the Forest Service, actually interagency at the National Interagency Fire Center, is in just a couple weeks, we're having a three-day industry technology day to find out what is out there, and then together we're going to figure out what do we need interagency, not just the Forest Service, but with the BLM and the states, and then put together a request for information and RFP for proposal and find out how much all that costs so that we can all talk together and be integrated through time.
Well, just so. Mr. Rupert's agency, and we went through this a year or so ago where we all went down with the secretary, not to put you in the particular spot, but we did go down like a year ago or 2 years ago now with the secretary and say, this is what BLM already implemented in their resource management of firelands and drones and real-time information, and an MOU was signed by the agencies to implement that. Now we're here today where BLM has already taken the technology legislation that my colleague and I from Colorado, basically you have a year to implement it, but we're just saying with the fire season upon us, the fact that BLM has implemented this right away, why can't we get the Forest Service to do the same?
Yeah, well, we're putting a strategy together to do that. In regards to the UAS, we've been very proactive with the BLM and DOI and other state agencies. The Klondike fire last year in Oregon, the state of Alaska brought their incident management team down, and we asked them to do a video on what they were doing for unmanned aerial surveillance for burning out location of spot fires and mapping. Same thing on the Tonto fire in Arizona this year, using UAS on Forest Service lands, working together with DOI and OAS.
Can we get either you and Mr. Rupert or just you, Ms. Director LaGarza? Now we know that our satellite systems can give us spot fire information. Are we using that on a daily basis for hasty response? I mean, it's almost minute-by-minute information about where a fire start is. And so are we implementing that satellite information into a real-time response? Yeah.
That's our goal. Our goal is to get a real-time common operating pictures, and we're working toward that, and would be happy to meet with you and have some more discussions on real-time common operating picture technology.
I have met with Forest Chief Christensen, who I have a lot of respect for, and I get that there are a lot of new tools. I guess what we are saying is pick the most urgent ones that you can implement today. Do not study this for an entire year, because as my colleague from West Virginia said, this is costing us so much money. And I'm happy to reintroduce my language to change the prescriptive burn season to an earlier move. I think this notion that somehow working with agencies where we couldn't get this prescribed burn window moved to more flexible times, because the public might be upset about smoke. I guarantee you the people of the Northwest are very upset about smoke,
yeah,
and they want us to do something to, so having a smoky August instead of like moving the prescribed burn to a March or April timeframe and getting more of it done, particularly those that are already done. And I just want to say, I know my time has expired, Mr. Crawford, thank you for talking about the right way of using a categorical exemption. We don't need a broad, like, let's bulldoze everything, you know, because we have the, we think we can use this opportunity to do so. And the reason I say that is because we're spending millions of dollars on stream restoration for salmon. So we don't want to see that disturbed by somebody who comes in without public input and says, okay, let's just take out this 4,200 acres right here. We want the discussion to be well-meaning, and we're willing to continue to work with people on more flexibility. We just got to get it the right way instead of just, again, bulldozing our way into it. Let's get you the tools. Let's get you the reason. But we are all, you have our attention, and you're going to continue to have our attention because it's such a big issue, and the climate of hotter, drier conditions are going to continue to challenge us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator.